So last night in the Iowa caucuses, what surprised you more, Hillary and Bernie coming out in nearly a dead heat, or Cruz taking Iowa away from Donald Trump?
I have to confess that neither of these things really surprised me, because they were actually being forecast as a possible but not necessarily completely probable result. Part of the problem is that there are in each party a couple of strong runners for the nomination, and the big question was which one was going to be able to come out on top. I'll tell you the thing that, as a political scientist and student of campaign strategy, that I found the most intriguing, and perhaps the one that would make campaign strategists most pleased, is the fact that Cruz, Senator Cruz, one of the Republican candidates, ran a campaign that was quite different in terms of strategy in Iowa than his opponent, Donald Trump, his major opponent, Donald Trump. And that is that Cruz did more old-fashioned campaigning around the state, making or having his surrogates make personal contacts, getting more endorsements, doing more of the traditional, what's called the ground game, but supplementing it with very data-driven analytics, utilizing the most current technology to find the voters and appeal to them who would be most likely to turn out to support him. So I think that what I found most intriguing was the fact, and as I say, gratifying as a strategist myself, that kind of strategic, careful planning turned out well for Cruz, at least in this campaign in Iowa. Now, will it predict to the future? We'll see in just a week. I think with Clinton and Sanders, what intrigued me, although the polls were saying it, was the big separation in age of supporters, where Clinton got the vast majority of people age 65 and over, and Sanders did even better overwhelmingly with millennial voters. So what you see there is a large discrepancy in terms of the age demographic.
All right. Talking a little bit more about Senator Cruz and Donald Trump, both of them are the big anti-establishment candidates, is how they've been branded and talked about in the media. And they finished 1-2 last night. But Marco Rubio finished in a strong third place. What do we look for from the Rubio camp and the Republican establishment going forward?
And there must be a lot of establishment, so-called establishment Republican leaders, who are breathing a happy sigh of relief that one establishment candidate, so-called establishment candidate, has done well. It's interesting because one of the amusing things to those of us who have observed lots of primaries over the decades is that somebody can take coming in third and turn it into the notion of a victory because you're doing better than expected. And that is certainly what Rubio was able to do, to take the mantle of somebody who is not a superly traditional Republican, because one of the things he's talking about is being a new generation of Republican, but he and Cruz are exactly the same age. I think it is more of a message that tries to resonate across the party. And so it will be interesting to see whether Rubio's message of being more inclusive across the entire party and also reaching out to independents and moderates will resonate more than the harsher rhetoric of Trump and Cruz.
Do you think, based upon that, Erica, that Rubio should expect to see an increase of support from the so-called establishment Republican Party?
I think this is very likely to occur. Of course, Trump is essentially self-funding. We know that both Rubio and Cruz have been getting a lot of money. These are not independently wealthy men, and so they're relying on contributions specifically to their own campaigns, but also the support of PACs and super PACs, outside organizations that can't give directly to the candidate, but can put out messages in support of the candidate they want and against the candidates they don't favor. So I think what we're going to see is an increase in fundraising by both Cruz and Rubio as individuals and groups that support them see that they're doing well.
All right. Talking about the Democrats for a moment, several months ago, a lot of people didn't know even who Bernie Sanders was. After the results from Iowa last night, he's become a real challenge for Clinton. How do you explain Sanders' appeal and massive rise in popularity over the past several months?
I think what is always something to remember is that in the primary season, the nominating season for both political parties, the political activists for the Democratic Party tend to be more liberal than your average Democrat. Oh, and by the way, Republican activists tend to be more conservative than the average Republican. So I think what Sanders represents is the voice, or he is representing, he's channeling the voice of progressives on the Democratic side. And he is, since there are only now two candidates in the race, he is the voice of that side of the party, which is the majority of Democratic activists. And Clinton is talking more, I think, to a pragmatic idea of what it takes to win in the general election, but careful observers have noted that she's also changing some of her rhetoric and issues to be more tilted toward the more liberal side of the Democratic Party. The trick always is for both Democrats and Republicans coming back in the general election more toward the middle regions where the general electorate voters are found.
Great. Looking forward from the Iowa caucuses, what's the most important thing for these new frontrunners of both parties to do to maintain momentum heading into the next few contests before we hit Super Tuesday?
I would say to be aware of the fact that you will be campaigning now in very different states. It's a sequential primary season across the United States. And the message that resonates with certain kinds of voters in one particular state may not resonate as much in another state because of different types of voters and different kinds of issues that people might be concerned about. So I would say that this allows people who want to work as political strategists to have a very interesting year because their services will be in demand as the candidates have to, with their advisors, plot a more complicated strategy than might be obvious initially, because you have to run in different places, appeal to different kinds of voters across the entire country.